Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sharei. We are learning the Zeicha Nishmasa and the Ilui Nishmasa. Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alaha HaShalom. May Neshama merit a continuous aliyah in the Shchus of the Divrei Torah we will share this evening. And we continue to thank the Fron family very much for their generosity towards the Harbatas HaTorah, the Zeicha Nishmas, their mother, Alaha HaShalom. So we are talking about the Yetzer Hara and who's in control of who. We have, two Bnei Bais living in here, the double bays of Levav. We have the Yetzer Hara, and we have the Yetzer HaTov, and who is in control of who? The Midrash quotes, the Mechaber, the author, quotes a Midrash that we're going to be looking at. I just want to clarify something, what I shared last week. A few people reached out to me. One said, she's so sorry, she felt so bad that I had that negative experience. Another person said, could she give me a hug? I didn't feel bad. I felt bad for that lady. It didn't diminish anything from my trip to Eretz Yisrael. It's just a reflection of, unfortunately, how when the Yetzer Hara is in control, and we all have an element of that in it. So don't you feel bad for me. I didn't feel bad that that happened to me. I just felt bad for the lady who expressed those sentiments. That's just a little bit of clarification. So there's no need to feel bad for me. Okay, next, let's go on. Okay, so we're on page 258, and we're going to be starting with two interesting sources that I came across, not because I was looking for them, but I very often find when I'm preparing shir for one venue, if I open a sefer and I'm preparing shir for one venue, like Mamish, I'm like, whoa, that source is so relevant for a different venue, not deliberately. Hashem really just guides me. So that happened with two different sefarim. One, I was looking up something in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Samech Aleph, about the life of Rabbi Akiva, and lo and behold, it's talking about the beginning of the Amud, is talking about the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov and the Rishayim being in controlled by the Yetzer Hara and the Tzaddikim being controlled by Yetzer HaTov, which is exactly what our author is talking about in the Midrash. And the other source is from a Sefer, a biography called Living Legend, Rabbi Yitzchak Grossman, who really revolutionized the north of Israel and did so much for the citizens that he won the Israel Prize, Haredi Rabbi. If you didn't read it, it's an amazing biography, art scroll. Okay, so I was not even looking for these two sources, but they relate beautifully to our learning. So I will begin in Maseches Brachos. Again, I was not, I went to for the narrative of the death of Rabbi Akiva, and I couldn't believe what the Amud speaks about. Okay, so let's just look in the Sefer first, okay? The Sefer is telling you, let's just start at the beginning of page 258, I will recap. If a person were essentially in a positive state, and the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, would try to remove him from there, it would have a very difficult task. While the task of the Yetzer Tov, the good inclination, would be relatively easy, because you're essentially in a positive state. The Yetzer Tov doesn't have to work so hard, because you're in a positive state, but the Yetzer Hara will have to work very hard. This is the condition before the first sin. Before the first sin, the Yetzer Hara was weaker, although it's hard to understand that. Why? Because it doesn't seem like it was so hard for the Yetzer Hara to get Adam and Isha to sin, but Lamaisa, that's what he says. After the first sin, after the chait, when one is in the state of the inclination of man's heart, is evil from his youth, Yetzer Leif Adam Raminu Urav, he has a strong connection to evil, and the Yetzer Hara's task is much easier now than that of the Yetzer Tov. So it's much easier for the evil inclination than that of the good inclination. The Yetzer Tov must work very hard to relocate him to a world of total goodness. The Yetzer Tov does not have an easy task because the pull of the evil inclination in this world post-first sin, and by that we're going back 5,782 years, is very strong. But the truth is that the man's state before sin is not only a matter of the distant past. That state is a potential in each one of us. So potentially we could all go back to pre-sin. We can all go back to the place where the Yetzer HaTov is stronger than the Yetzer. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? He's saying that before it's sin, that the Yetzer HaTov was stronger than the Yetzer. Do we really see that? I don't know. The Nerev and Chumash makes it look like the Yetzer Hara is stronger than the Yetzer HaTov. How much did it take for the Nachash to convince Isha to eat from the first fruit? It didn't take so much. He said to her, you'll be like God, and right away she's taking it, she's contemplating, she's looking at it, she's thinking about it, she's eating it. But he says that before sin, the Yetzer HaTov was stronger than the Yetzer Hara. And we all have that potential in each one of us. Like the Midrash says, you could see the source, Midrash Bereishis Rabbah, Tzaddikim, their hearts are under their control. They have worked hard to plant their trees in a world of goodness, except for one branch that might incline to the side of evil. We did this last week. We still have to get into the Midrash that he's quoting. I must be restored to the side of good. But the Rishaim, the wicked, their hearts are not under their control. This is what the Midrash says. Midrash says that for a tzaddik, the heart is under his control, but for a rasha, the heart is not under their control. They are under the power of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. They must struggle with each negative desire and destroy it to the side of goodness. Okay, that's where we're up to in the Sefer. So on Shabbos, I was looking up something in the Gemara for the final act of Kiddush Hashem of Rabbi Akiva. And I can't believe it. I open up to Brachos Samech Aleph and listen to this. Ready? Because my mind is always in all the shiurim that I'm teaching. So I always have, I'm not joking. I already read something last night at the dinner table. I'm like, oh, could you send that to me? Because it's relevant to my Monday morning tefillah shiurim. So I'm always, my mind's always going, where am I holding in each sefer, in each class? And here's a relevant source. So this is unbelievable. Mamash Hashem guided me. So obviously, I am not, it's even ludicrous to say that, to say Baka. I'm not familiar with 99% of the Gemara. So I know the few narratives and Mamre Chazal that I am familiar with. So I'm not, so someone who's obviously Bakim Maseches Brachos knows, and they wouldn't be surprised by this. Michal Haaretz never came across his teaching before, and it's really exactly what we're learning. Ready? Listen to this. One second. I need to move things. One second. I need another chair. This is a narrow table. This is okay. Thank you. Okay. One second. Okay. Oh, yeah, I could just do that. Okay, thank you so much. So I have too many sfarim here. No, not too many. I just have a lot of sfarim right now and no room. Thank you, Esther. Okay, 1 minute. Okay, that's better. Thank you very much. Okay, here we go. Listen to the Gemara. Thank you. I'm in Maseches Brachos Samech Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Omer. Rabbi Yossi the Glili says, listen carefully. I'm going to be reading it with, I prepared it with Rashi on the Gemara and the Art School footnotes. Okay? Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shoftan. Wow. The righteous, a tzaddik, a righteous person, the Yetzer Tov, his evil inclination, he is ruled by the evil inclination. What's Shoftan? The root word being like Shofate. Okay? It ends with a nun sofis, but it's like shofate. Tzadikim yetzer tov shoftan. So for a tzaddik, who's their judge? Who's in charge of them? The good inclination, shenemar, like the pasuk says in Tehillim Kuftes, v'libi chalal bekirbi. My heart, i.e. the evil inclination, has died within me. So the Gemara quotes that the tzaddik says that the tzaddik is in control of his yetzer, and the yetzer tov is the ruling force in the tzaddik. Like the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'libi chalal bekirbi, my heart, meaning my evil inclination, has died within me. By the way, that relates to what we spoke about last week. Levavcha has two bases for each part of the heart. So here this pasuk that the Gemara quotes is proof that the shofet of the tzaddik is the yetzer tov, is my heart has died. Well, which aspect of the heart has died in the tzaddik? The yetzer hara. It has died. And Rashi says, "V'libi chalal b'kirbi yetzer hara." What does it mean, Rashi says? What does the pasuk mean? The evil inclination has died in the tzaddik. Harehu kemeis b'kirbi sheyesh b'yadi the kofa. It's as if the yetzer hara has died within me. I have in my hand to kofa. What does kofa mean? Kofin oso adra omer rotzani. I have in my power to overcome him. I have in my power to force the yetzer hara out. So the Gemara says clearly, Brachos Samech Aleph Amud Beis, Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shoftan. When it comes to a righteous person, the Yetzer Tov is his shofet, is his ruler, is his judge. Like the pasuk says in Tehillim, my heart has died within me, says Rashi. What does that mean? Who has died within the tzaddik? The Yetzer Hara. I'll give you an example, okay? I'm trying to think of an example. When a person's Yetzer Hara, like Mamish dies for something. Like, in other words, you don't have a Yetzer Hara for that anymore. What's a good example? I'm trying to think of the physical realm. Like if there's a food that you stop eating
for. Don't they say that today we don't have the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zara?
What?
Avodah Zara, that we don't have the
Yetzer. Oh, okay. Right, today we don't have a desire. Well, there's no, that's not so true. There's other forms of avodah zara, of strange worship. I don't think that that's so true. People do worship certain elements in society and culture today. Mamas worship. So I don't think that's so true. I'm trying to think of a physical realm. Let's say there's a food you stopped eating for health reasons. So it comes to a certain point where, like, you literally don't have a yetzer hara for it anymore. It's not that I'm holding myself back from eating that food, like. For me, Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, I'm Chal Yisrael also, but Dunkin' Donuts, even before I was Makma and Chal Yisrael, this past summer, it's not that I'm not eating a donut, Dunkin' Donut, because I have to hold myself back. I have no desire for it.
We talked about it with your Nevaeh girls.
What?
We talked about it with your Nevaeh girls a few weeks ago, that, like, we don't have like a taiba for non-kosher foods.
They still do. Oh, so there you go. That's very good. I'm just making sure the recorder's working. They're very, very good. Okay. So for us sitting here, let's say, okay, for them, they said that it's very hard for them. Not eating not kosher is one of the hardest things for them for being chozros b'teshuva. For everybody sitting here, no one here has a desire to go after shiur and go to McDonald's. It's not that you don't have a desire for it. You have no yetzer hara for that. That's a good example. You have no yetzer. It's not that you're holding yourself back. You literally don't have a yetzer hara. I'm not eating the glazed donut Dunkin' Donuts because I'm holding back. I don't want it. So in this realm, you see that sometimes the yetzer hara for some, I'm not saying I'm in this category. I'm just saying that sometimes a yetzer hara for something could mamish die out in a person. And that's what Rashi says. Yetzer hara, harehu kemes bekirbi. Sheyesh medida kofo. He's like, he's dead within me. Kofin otso. I have in my power to overcome him, to give him a patch, to give him malchus. He's nothing to me. So that's the first thing. That tzaddik, his shofet, his judge, his ruler is a yetzer tov. Rishaim, what about the wicked person? So obviously, what do you think the Rishaim is going to be? Like mamish, I opened this Gemara on Shabbos because of the Ptira, the murder, the martyr of Rabbi Akiva. And this is on the top of the Amr. And this is exactly what we're learning in this year. Like mamish, exactly. Next, continues the Gemara, Rishaim Yetzer Rashoftan. When it comes to the Rasha, the wicked, so their Yetzer Hara, their evil inclination, it's his shofet. His ruler is the evil inclination of the wicked. Like the Pasuk says in Tehillim as well, Lamed Vav, Ne'um Pesha L'Rasha, David HaMelech says, think I, David, in my heart, Bekerev Libi, wait one second, I translated wrong, Ne'um Pesha L'Rasha, Bekerev Libi, in my heart, evil speaks to the wicked, saying, Ein Pachar Elokim L'Neged Eidav, there is no, Ein Pachar Elokim L'Neged Eidav, what does the wicked not have anymore? Yerei Shemayim. What did you say?
Any fear of Hashem.
Any fear of God. What does it say by Malik? Perfect example of this. What does it say by Malik? V'lo yerei So there's a mechlokas. If it's Klai Yisrael who didn't fear God, or Amalek who didn't fear God, but according to those who say, like Rashi, Amalek didn't fear God. So you see that a Rasha, his Yetzer Tov, whereas the Tzaddik can destroy his Yetzer Hara, the Rasha can put to death his Yetzer HaTov, and he has no fear of God. Ne'um Pesha L'Rasha, Bekerev Libi, Ein Pach Elokim, L'Neged Einav. David HaMelech says, in my heart, evil speaks to the wicked, and evil says, let there be no fear of God before his eyes. The evil inclination, footnote, causes the wicked to completely lose sight of fear of heaven. They are altogether dominated by their evil inclination. The Lashon of Rashi is as follows, Klomer, Sha'yetzer Hara Amar L'Rasha, the evil inclination says to the wicked, Al Ye Pachar Elokim, L'Neged Einecha, you should not have any reverence of God, any fear of God anymore before your eyes. Il Mala Yetzer Hara Shofto. And the Yetzer Hara is his shofet, his judge. Ad Shemarchiko She'eno Mitpached Miyotro. Until he comes to the point where he has no fear of his creator anymore. He's, yeah.
It sounds like Paro. He needs to get Mitzrayim. That like he chose his own judgment by a certain point. Like
it doesn't sound so much like Paro because I'll tell you why. When each Malka struck, Paro still said, Ha'atiru Bai Dai, pray for me. There was still something, you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like a 19-20-year-old who could take huge axes, hammers, and knives and go into a park and axe fathers in the head in front of their children. Paro was a Rasha, but he still had something in him that acknowledged that there was a Borei Olam, and his people did also. I know he began with Mi Hashem 5-2. Mi Hashem Ashma Bakoli, Adati Asher Sem, Vagam Mitzrolo Shalech, Luchu Lecham Lesivdo Zechem, Al Yishu B'Divrei Sheker. But then why did he say to Moshe, pray to God? Why did he engage in who and who is going? And at the end he said, get out. That's not a total negation of the Yetzer Hara. It's almost complete negation of the Yetzer, but there's still something in there that acknowledges that there's someone above me. Complete negation of the Yetzer is such a rishus that there's literally no fear of God. There's no ideal. It steeps to a place that we can't even imagine. It's complete 1,000% rishus without any spark of goodness. It's two teenagers who could go into a park and do such horrific things that we can't even fathom what it means. Shai ben Ilana still needs a refuah shalema, by the way. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiya B'Dvaro.
Amen.
Thank you. There are four comments. Sorry, I wasn't looking. Someone said eating non-kosher before you. Another person said smoking. No taiva for chametz on Motzi Pesach. Okay, so there are different examples of things that you mamish do not have a yetzer hara for. So the Lamaisa, the Gemara says that tzaddikim, their show fate is the yetzer tov. They have slayed their yetzer hara. Whereas the Rasha'im, their show fate is the yetzer hara. They have slayed their yetzer tov to the point where, like we saw in Rashi, yetzer hara shofto ad shemer chiko she'enu mitpached miyotzo. The yetzer hara is such a strong ruler. It takes him so far that he is literally no pachad of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What about the rest of us? What do we call ourselves? What are we hopefully? Well, hopefully we're not the Rasha'im. I'm not the Tzaddikim, so what am I? Oh, so what about us? Beinonim. So what do you think, since you said Beinonim, what do you think the Gemara says?
That both
rule over the different paths. Sometimes it's this one's the Shofet, sometimes it's this one the Shofet. Beinonim, zeh v'zeh shoftan. Sometimes this one, meaning the Yetzer Tov, is his ruler, and sometimes, meaning this one, the Yetzer Hara, is the ruler. Quoting the pasuk, this pasuk is from also Tehillim. Ya'amod liyamin avyon lehoshia mishoftei nafsho. God will stand by the right side of the poor man to save him from the ruler, the shofet of his soul. Listen again. Ya'amod liyamin avyon. Hashem stands to the right side of the destitute person. Lahoshia mishoftei nafsho. Mishoftei nafsho. This is exactly what we're talking about. To save him from the shofet of his soul. Who's the shofet of his soul? Who does God need to save him from? Not the Yetzer Tov. Who does Hashem need to save him from? The Yetzer Hara. 1 second. So the article footnote says the verse speaks of an average person, a beinoni. He's in between, he's torn between the two rulers of his soul, the good inclination on the one hand, the evil inclination on the other hand. Whoever needs God's support in order for his good inclination to emerge victorious is the beinoni. So hopefully I'm in that category. Yeah, I mean, we could give a little bit of credit. We're not in the category of the Rasha'im. We haven't totally slayed Baruch Hashem, the Yetzer HaTov. It's talking about no remnant of Yetzer HaTov left. Even Paro was a Rasha, but there's even a worse category of Rasha. He has nothing in him. Tzaddik, I'm not there. But the Beinoni means that you're struggling between this extreme and that extreme. Amar Rava, so Rava said, Kigon Anu Beinonib. So Rava says, like us, we're Beinonim. So what do you think I thought when I read that? Oy vey, if Rava's a Beinoni, then what is? Micha Horowitz. So it's funny. Abaye refutes Rava by saying that very same thing. If we're Beinonim, then no one could ever be Tzaddikim, and everybody's a Rasha. I'm just pouring more water, and then I'm going to go back to the Gemara, okay? Thank you very much. That's exactly right. Amar Rava, Kigon Anu, Beinonim, so Rava says, by the way, the footnote says that some people say it should be Rabba. A marginal gloss suggests the correct reading is Rabba. It's either Rabba or Rava. That's way beyond the scope of my erudition, and for tonight, sure, that's not the point. So Rava comes along, and Rava says, Kigon Anu, Beinonim, like us, we're Beinonim, we're in the middle. Footnote, although Rava or Rabba was certainly completely righteous in thought and deed, he feared that his evil inclination was merely dormant, but was not completely eradicated. Remember, a tzaddik completely put to death is Yetzer Hara. A Rasha put to death is Yetzer Tov. The Beinoni has both of those bases, both B'nai Bai is still alive. Thus, by the above yardstick, Rava was saying, I'm an average person. I'm a middle of the road. So Amar le Abaya. So Abaya answers, and Abaya says to him, Lo shavik marchaye the chobria. According to the master's yardstick, there's no creature who will live. Why? Because if you're a Beinoni, then everybody must be a Rasha. You're a tzaddik. Art school footnote. For even if you're in a category of an average person, who could be possibly considered a completely righteous if you consider yourself to be a Beinoni? Which is exactly what I thought when I was looking through the Gemara. If he's a Beinoni, what am I? But Abaya refuted that. And Abaya said to him, and then everybody is considered a Rasha. Wait, I marked that I want to tell you. Art school. I mean, not art school. Rashi. Im ata min habeinonim ein lechatzadik gomer ba'olam. Abai says to Rava, if you are the middle people, then there is no tzadik gomer ba'olam, because you, Rava, are a tzadik. The Gemara then cites several related teachings. You don't think it's just the lesson that I opened this for the, I'm not familiar with Maseches Brachos 61b, Samech Aleph Amud Beis Noho Amud, but I know certain narratives on the Amud, so I opened it up on Amud Samech, Samech Av, so I opened it up to go to Rabbi Akiva, and what's there on the top of the Amud? Literally what we're learning in Shai. You don't think that's unbelievable? That story is alone, Dayenu. Forget what the Gemara actually says, just joking. That alone is Dayenu. Mamish, it's there. In a different shir. I was preparing. The Amar Rava, so Rava said, Lo Ibre Alma. Oh, listen to this. Lo Ibre Alma, Lo Bara Olam. Translate Lo Ibre Alma into Hebrew. Lo Bara Olam, Ela Lirishe Gemure, Ola Tzadike Gemure. What does that mean? What did I just say? You should be able to understand that. Lo Ibra Olma, Lo Bara Olam, Ela Lirishe Gemure, The world was not created for the Benoni people. It was created for those who are entirely wicked, or for those who are entirely, for the Rasha Gomer, entirely wicked, or for the Tzadik Gomer, entirely righteous. What are we talking about here? So Rashi says, Ha'olam hazeh, she'ein lahem ba'olam haba klum, v'tzrichim lito, scharet, okay, 1 second. Ready? Lirishe Gemure, this world was created only for the completely wicked. I can't look at you and look at you and look at you. So I know I'm taking off my gazstuk in the mirror, but it means that I don't have my far distance. So just bear with me, okay? Lirishe Gemure, what does it mean that the world was completed for the complete Rishaim? So before I tell you what Rashi says, before I read you Rashi, what do you think it means actually? That the world was completed for the Gemara says the world was completed for Rishaim Gemurim, completely wicked, or for tzaddikim gemurim, completely righteous. What is that? First of all, that's a stira. It can't be for both. Was the world created for the completely wicked or for the completely righteous? Or maybe we're talking about two different worlds, which is the answer. So what's the pshat? This world was created, the Gemara is going to show us with Rashi, for the completely wicked. The next world was that's right. That's exactly right, Shoshana. To pay the evil people. This world was created for the completely wicked because they got the schar down here and their punishment up there in the world beyond. The next world was created for the completely righteous. So now let me tell you what Rashi says, okay? Lirishe gemure ha'olam hazeh. This world down here was created for the complete wicked. She'ein lahem b'olam haba klum. Because what do they get in olam haba? Nothing. Klum. What's klum? Nothing. V'tzrichin litos charan kan. So they need to get their reward where?
Here.
Down here. So this, remember, these are not talking about Benoni people. They're talking about mamish rasha. Even Esav, his head, he had kibbut avim. He was a rasha, he's a grandfather of Amalek, but his head went to the Ma'ar Samech Pela, and he still had a tremendous char. In fact, Rav Aaron Leib Stein and Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha teaches something very interesting. It's brought in a sefer by Rabbi Wallerstein on Kibbut Avayim. Zchusa Yagen Aleinu. The first time I heard Rabbi Wallerstein, the first and only time I heard Rabbi Wallerstein speak in person was in Sha'arei. Quite a number of years ago, in the main sanctuary. I don't remember anything of the speech, but he said one thing. Oh my gosh, it relates to Shir. One thing I remember from the whole thing he said. A slave can only say one word. Yes, master. Yes. The sign of freedom, it relates exactly to the shir. He spoke in the main sanctuary. It was years ago. It was before I was teaching, so it was here. It was a long time ago. A slave can only say one word, yes. Because who's he enslaved to? A master. He was saying when a person is enslaved to their yetzer hara, the only thing they do is give in to their desires, their taivas, their desires, their wants, and their needs. The sign of a free person is the ability to say, no, I will not eat from the Eitz Hadassah's freedom. I will not eat shrimp, even if I want it, for those girls who are chozer b'teshuvah. I will not, fill in the blank. I will not speak Lashon Hara, even though I want to. I don't remember anything else he spoke about, but it made such an impact on me. 10 years later, I remember it. It's mamish exactly what we're learning. He spoke in the main sanctuary. He said that a slave only says one word, yes, and freedom is the ability to say no. That's what the Gemara is talking about. Who rules you? Who is your shofet? The Yetzer HaTov or the Yetzer Hara? So now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, the Rava says, lo ibrei alma, let's translate it into Hebrew, lo bara ha'olam, ela l'rishay gemurei, ele l'rishayim gemurim, oh, the tzaddikah Gemara, we already saw that Rashi explains, this world is created for who? The completely wicked, because in this world, they get their schar down here. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, furthermore, Rava said, Leida inash binafshe. A person should know himself. Leida, ladat, inash, an ish, binafshe. A person should know his own soul. You should know your own self. Im tzadik gamer hu, im lav. He should know if he's a tzadik gamer, and he should know if he's not. And if he's not, he should know if he's a beinoni, if he should know if he's a rasha. Someone took great umbrage. Last week I said, I'm never going to be Henny Machas or Robinson Kanievsky. She was very upset at me. She emailed me and she said, you shouldn't disparage yourself. You shouldn't talk Lashon Hara about yourself. I said, I don't think it's talking Lashon Hara about myself. I think we're thinking two different viewpoints here. To speak realistically, I'm Pasha never going to be them. So I am self-aware. I know myself. I know who I'm going to be. I know I'm not. Hopefully, I said, Halavai, it should be Micha Hara. It's never mind Henny Machas. Leida Inash Binafshe. A person should know himself. Im Tzadik Gamer Hu Im Lav. Says Rava, you know, you should know who you are. Continues Rav, Amar Rav, lo ibre alma al. Okay, then Rav gives us a specific example. The world was created for the wickedness of Achav, the son of Omri, one of the very, very wicked kings of Yisrael, and for the righteous, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is very famous. He's the one, remember, we said to his daughter, just like God, why are you sad? She was very upset when she was lighting Shabbos candles because she realized that they don't have any oil. So he said to her, why are you sad? The same God who makes oil burn will make vinegar burn. So the Gemara says, this world was created for Achav, the son of Omri. He was one of the kings of the Malchus Yisrael, and they instituted Baal of Avodah Zarah, along with his wicked wife, Izabel. Right? He was extremely wealthy. So the Gemara is saying he was very wealthy. Where did he receive his reward? Down here. His great wealth was his reward down here, but he was completely wicked. So this world was created to give him whatever scar he deserved there. Next world, he's not getting anything. And the next world was prepared for Chanina ben Dosa ha'olam haba. Art school footnote. Since the true purpose of the world to come is to reward the righteous, the purpose was perfectly fulfilled. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he had great poverty. He did not, is he the one, I don't know, the vinegar and oil, yes, but is he the one who his wife was complaining they're so poor, so a golden leg, somebody at home knows also, you know the maisa, please look up Esther, a gold, the maisa is that a gold, it's not Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa,
no,
who was it?
No.
No, they're telling me it's not. Okay, forget that. I still don't know who it was, but remember the golden leg came down, so then his wife said, what is this? So he says, that's from our portion in the next world. So she said, forget it, give it back. Lamaisa, the Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was very poor. Maybe that's why he didn't have oil to light the candles. And therefore, he didn't enjoy this world, but he would be getting reward. What did you say? I can't. Stop. What? Esther.
It does say that there is a story like that from Chanina ben Dosa.
With the leg of the table? It was Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Okay. Baruch Hashem, thank you for looking it up. Okay, I could keep my day job. I could be wrong, don't worry. So he was very poor. Does it say where it is in the Gemara? Should say. Anyway, the Maisa. So we think that it's correct. It was Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa who was so poor. Maybe that's why it's a story of vinegar, because oil is more expensive than vinegar. So maybe that's why he didn't have oil. Maybe that's why his daughter was so upset. And it is him who his the golden leg came down. And when his wife said, Esther's nodding yes, she looked it up. When his wife said, what is this? So this is perfect. It ties in exactly to the Gemara here. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, oh, that's a reward in the next world. You want to get in this world, then you don't get in the next world. So what did she say? Give it back. Man came down from Shemayim and took it back. It's a beautiful illustration of what the Gemara is saying here. This world is created to give the wicked their reward. The next world is created to give the righteous their reward. And Rashi says, "Letzadike gemurei ha'olam haba." So we already established that this world, the rishay gemurei ha'olam haza, letzadike gemurei, perfectly righteous ha'olam haba, shne'en lahem ba'olam haza klum. What does the righteous have in this world?
Nothing.
Kegon Chanina ben Dosa, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Okay? Shadailo bekav cheruvin me'erv Shabbos, erev Shabbos. Oh, one of our guides told us this when we were in Eretz Yisrael. That I didn't remember they quoted Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, but he was talking about, I didn't remember who would live on a handful of carob every week. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was so poor that all he had to eat was a handful of carobs. So my brother said, you're on the trip. He said, yeah, it's just like the kids today. Pack up all the snacks and the drinks, and every 5 minutes they're saying we're hungry. Can you imagine telling them, here's a handful of carob, it should last you the whole week. So I thought it was an incredible Gemara. First, I thought it's incredible how mamish I opened to find something else, and here it is. And also, it's literally an illustration of what we're learning. So just to recap with all the psukim that we quoted as proof, tzadikim yetzer tov shoftan, a tzadik is the shofet of a tzadik is his yetzer tov. I did a bad job of translating that into English. The ruler of a righteous person is his good inclination. Risha'im yetzer ra shoftan. The evil person is his ruler, is his evil inclination. And Rashi on the Gemara tells us that the tzaddik manages to put to death his evil inclination. And the rasha, lahafach, puts to death his good inclination. He literally has no good in him. These are people who are not getting anything at all, but they have no good left whatsoever. And then we come to the Beinonim. So we're judged, sometimes the shofet is this one, and sometimes the shofet is this one. The Gemara says that Hashem stands by the right side of the poor man to save him from the ruler of the soul. Along comes Rav, and he says, like me, I'm a Beinoni. So Abaye says, what are you talking about? If you're a Beinoni, then what's the whole rest of the world? You're a Beinoni? So then Rava gives us a few examples, and Rava continues and says, this world was created for Rasha'im Gemurim, according to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, and the next world is created for Tzadikim Gemurim. Rava says a person has to know himself, if he's a completely righteous or if he's completely wicked, and we learn that the next world is created to give the Tzadik their reward. This world is created to give the Rasha his reward. We give a beautiful example from Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa that shows you that if you want your wealth in this world, if you're a Tzadik, so it'll come. I'm not only talking about physical wealth, also spiritual wealth. So you want it in this world, you want the ultimate reward, so it'll come down to you. You'll have your golden table, but then what's going to be in the next world? You know the famous story with Harav Avadio Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, by the Shidduch, when it came time to make the Shidduch. So when he went to the house, his Rabbani was Margalit Allah Hashem. So he went to the house, she got all ready for the meeting, and he ended up talking to her father and learning for a few hours. So she said, that's it, the Shidduch is off. She's not interested. He came. She got all ready for the date. Whatever, I don't know, the meeting. I shouldn't say a date, wherever they were going to meet. It's off. So the father says, give him one more chance. So she says, fine, one more chance. So it's brought down the article biography. It's a famous story. It's a famous story of Harav Avadia. Oh, thank you so much. It is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. It's a Maseches Bavli Tainis. It's in Talmud Bavli Maseches Tainis. Chaf Dalar Amas Beis. Through Chaf Hei Amrav. Thank you very, very much. Sima Selmar. Thank you. So she says, fine, she's going to give him a second chance. So she gets all ready for the second meeting, and it comes to the door, and she says to her father, don't ask him any questions in learning. And they spend 2.5 hours talking learning. She says, the shidduch's off. So the next day or whenever it was, Rav Avadia Yosef knocks on the door. So they said, I'm sorry, the shidduch's off. He says, could I please just have a few minutes talking to her, to Margalit? So they go into the room. They come out. You don't know the story? Mazel tov, they're engaged. So mazel tov, you're engaged. We thought the shidduch's off. What happened? So Rav Avadia Yosef said to her, his now betrothed, he said, let's make a deal. You give me some of your olam haza. I'll give you some of my olam haba. We'll make a shift with us. Now, I'm not comparing it to the Gemara. I'm just saying that there's a reward. So she was able to give him Olam Haza. He was able to give her Olam Haba. They each had a different task. It was a beautiful partnership. It was amazing. A tremendous Gadol B'Yisrael. So we see that there is this world. There is the next world. And we have to cultivate where we want to be in each world. And that goes according to what? Who is ruling over our heart? The other story that I did not even remember reading this in Living Legend. Okay. It's an amazing, amazing amazing Rav from Eretz Yisrael. He, again, got the Israel Prize. Israel Prize is the highest prize awarded to a citizen of Israel who makes the most impact a Haredi rabbi to get the Israel prize. It's not a Haredi prize. It's a prize awarded by the state of Israel on Yom HaAtzmaut to a citizen who has made such an impact in Israeli society. Okay. So I came across this also on Shabbos, and I was smiling because it's perfect for what we're talking about. Okay. In the years to come, Rabbi Yitzchak David Grossman, Shlita, would experience numerous eventful situations as he crisscrossed the globe raising money for Migdal Or. He built up this whole place in the north, like for orphans and children who didn't have a home, or chinuch, dormitories, yeshivot, etc. On one trip to Florida, he was introduced to a wealthy man who invited the rabbi to come see him at his home later that evening. At 9 o'clock that night, Rabbi Grossman stood outside a palatial mansion in Miami Beach, situated right by the ocean. The rabbi rang the bell, but nobody answered. He rang the bell a few more times, and finally the door glided open. But there was nobody on the other side welcoming him in. Following the sounds of footsteps, hastily walking towards the living room, Rabbi Grossman walked through the gigantic house, and he found the host sitting back down on a wraparound couch, staring at something that was showing on the incredibly large television screen mounted opposite him on the wall. He was absolutely hypnotized by what he was watching. He didn't even realize that the rabbi had followed him into the room. Rav Grossman couldn't help but notice that the man was watching a boxing match on the big screen. Boxing as a sport was something the rabbi had never seen in his entire life, and the sight of it made his blood run cold. Two young, powerful, muscled men were pummeling each other with all their strength, to the delight and the enthusiasm of the spectators standing around the ring, who were jumping up and down and screaming themselves hoarse. The host himself, who still did not realize that the rabbi was behind him, was up on his feet, and he's yelling at the screen, "Hit him in the right hook. No, don't use your left hand. Use your right hand. Hit him hard." Clearly, the man had a bet on one of the boxers, and he was heavily invested in the outcome of the match. Rav Grossman stared at the man as if he has lost his mind. Suddenly, the match was interrupted by a commercial break, at which point the master of the Baal Bais turns around and he sees the rabbi standing there. "Rabbi Grossman," he said, "please forgive me for not greeting you at the door. I was so involved in the boxing match, I could not pull myself away from the screen." "Not only do I forgive you," said Rabbi Grossman, "I thank you." The man was taken aback by the rabbi's response. "Why are you thanking me?" And he answered, "Because I just learned a very important lesson in Avodas Hashem, the service of God." "What do you mean?" "A lot of my work involves Bali Teshuva." You brought up people are chozer ba teshuva. It's funny, and the taiva, the desire to non-kosher, when we don't have that taiva. One of the most common questions, I was not looking in this book for the story. I didn't even remember I read this story. You understand? Just like I was not looking for the Gemara. Well, Hashem scripted tonight's shiur. One of the most common questions they ask me is, if Hashem wants us to live our lives as tzaddikim, I'm quoting verbatim, page 301. If Hashem wants us to live our lives as tzaddikim, why did he give us the Yetzer Hara? Why give us an evil inclination? If he would just give us the Yetzer Tov that constantly pushes us to do good, we would worship him all the time without interruption. That's exactly what the Gemara is discussing. Who's ruling you? "Tonight," says Rabbi Grossman, "I received an answer to that question." "What?" said the boxing enthusiast. Enthusiast, yeah. "I'll tell you how. Where's that game you're watching taking place?" "It's in Chicago." "How many people are watching the game right now in Chicago?" "Thousands." "How many people around the country are watching this game?" "Millions." "So tell me this. What would happen if only one of the fighters would enter the ring? And he begins punching without a partner. He's punching the air. He's doing his moves. He's dancing around. Would anyone care? Would anybody be watching the match?" Answered the man, "No." "Of course not," said Rav Grossman. "They would send him to a hospital for the mentally ill. What makes the game so interesting? What makes people invest so much time and money to watch the game? There are two people fighting each other. You want this fighter to win. Someone else wants the other fighter to win. You're each egging the other fighter on. You scream at the screen here. And a million other people are screaming at the screens in their homes, each rooting for their own man. The fun and the challenge is rooting on your man. And the reason millions are completely engrossed in the match is because there are two sides. It's the same thing with the Ribono Sha'olam, the master of the world, page 302 in this biography. If a person just had a Yetzer Tov, he wouldn't have any interest in doing Averos. If we only were always under the rulership, us, of the Yetzer Tov, we wouldn't be interested in doing Averos. We wouldn't even think about sinning. There would be no fight. Nothing interesting about the person's service of God. Hashem has billions of angels who serve him all the time with unconditional love and perfect behavior. They don't have a Yetzer. Remember, we spoke last time, they only have one base. Remember, Vesadu Libchem, Avram says to them, satiate, you only have one heart. He has millions of angels who serve him all the time. Billions, it says here. Excuse me, with unconditional love and perfect behavior. Why does he need us? The pleasure of our Avodas Hashem stems from the fact that we have a Yetzer Tov, a good inclination, and we also have a Yetzer Hara, an evil inclination. They are two, quote, equally powerful inclinations within the same heart. And that we battle it out and fight the Yetzer Hara to do God's will. Asei Ritzoncha, Kitzono, make your will God's will. And just as you stood up before and you're shouting at the screen, give it to him, give it to him. Hashem watches us. And he calls out to the Yetzer Tov, give it to him, give it to him. Remember we saw in the Gemara, the proof is that Hashem stands by the right side of the Evyon in order to rule out the Shofeh from his heart. So Hashem is standing there and he's saying, give it to him, give it to him. He watches us, he calls out to us, he encourages the Yetzer HaTov, the good inclination, to beat out the Yetzer, the evil inclination. He encourages him to deal him with a knockout punch. So you see, I just learned a major lesson about serving the creator of the world, and that's why I have to thank you. All in all, it ended up being quite an interesting evening. And while he had learned and taught a phenomenal lesson that night, Rav Grossman knew it would be quite all right if he never saw another boxing match for the rest of his life. We're certainly, I'm not trying to brand anybody, I think it's fair to say that we're Beinonim. We're not Rishayim Gemurim. I'm not trying to insult anyone. I don't think that people on our level are Tzadikim Gemurim either. We have to dive into the Ribono Shel Olam to help us, but in the boxing match between these two opponents, he stands by our right side encouraging us, I'm talking to myself, encouraging us to punch him out, punch him out, so that slowly by slowly, fight by fight, step by step, punch by punch, we can become victorious over the Yetzer Hara and receive the reward Be'ezrat Hashem. Olam Haba, Olam Haza should be pleasant and easier, and Olam Haba Be'ezrat Hashem should be what it will be. So we hope that the Neshama Mirim Fruan, Mirim Baschaim Yitzhak Allah Hashem, merits a true Aliyah and the Schus of the Torah that we shared. I wish everyone a week of Besuros Tovos. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for looking up Esther and Silma, Abba Bichinia Mendoza, and for all the examples of things that we don't have a taiva for anymore. Besuros Tovos and Laida Tov. Thank you so much, everyone.